So this was my attempt to go back and look at the Purakim Yud through Yud Bet. Because we talked about the structure of Mishlei before, that basically there are three books. Everything's, each one starts with Mishlei Shlomo, and there are two individual chapters like appendices. We start with Divrei Agur and Divrei Lemuel. I'll have to look at those when we get there. And the first part, what I'm calling the first book of Mishlei, is Purakim Aleph through Tet. We did those. And that has a relatively straightforward theme and a central metaphor. Let's talk about the importance of chachma, of ethical wisdom, that you need to learn ethics in order to survive in the world. And we use the Greek term of phronesis for that chachma, which means the not chachma in the sense of just being smart, but of knowing the difference between right and wrong and actually implementing it, acting it out that way, as opposed to just knowing it, but doing whatever you want. And the central metaphor was, but A, it was a father talking to a son about all these things, Shema ben mi Musar avicha, listen to me. And that Chachma is a woman calling out. The young man is trying to look as being called to by these various women, the Chachma of Torah as the one you're supposed to go with, and the Isha Zarah, foreign sources of ethical wisdom trying to seduce him. And acknowledging that other societies have ethical wisdom and they're real and they're worth learning, but we have to learn virtues from the Torah. That's book one. Second one is hard to figure out. It goes from Yud to Chaf Dalet, and there are lots of individual lines. It's what we think of when we think of Proverbs. It's just one after the other, and it's hard to find any kind of central theme or method. And if you look at the structure of it, there are three long paragraphs, each of which starts with a Ben Chacham. So addressing that idea, okay, here, oh wise child, here, learn this, 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 and this. And then two paragraphs about a Kasil, the fool, kind of contrasting. And then short paragraphs that look like appendices that just have like one or two psukim each. And then the first paragraph, called the first section, is Perek Prakim Yud through Yud Bet inclusive. And we looked at that. We learned of them. But we learned them as individual proverbs. They didn't seem to have much connection, much way of much flow, so I want to try to find some unifying theme that puts it all together, and the truth is that I failed. Okay, I don't see anything there, but we'll try to see what I did. So broadly speaking, there are six kinds of proverbs. Okay, there's ones that start about talk about chachma, or bina, or seichel, about intelligence. There are verses that deal with tzaddik. Righteousness was clearly something different, or is also Yashar and Tam, I put in the same category. There are a couple of verses that talk about not revealing your feelings, not saying everything you feel, not showing your anger, not showing frustration, called the tzniut, psukim, tzniut, modesty of staying inside. There are verses that deal with honesty and diligence, but emet and charitz. And then there are a couple of verses that deal with the virtuous Isha and what it means to be an Isha, which to me is a metaphor as well. And then there are a couple of verses that sound like just common sayings that don't seem to have any kind of real deep meaning. And it all seems random. I color coded them so we could see them. Okay, the Chacham is in light blue, the Tzaddik is in green, the Tzinu is in yellow, the Charitz is in purple or lilac, and the Isha is pink, and the general pikamim things are uncolored, and you can look at this, and here's you can see that well, and I can't see any pattern there. I
Oh,
can
there's a
see
lot
some.
of green.
There's a lot of green, so that's what you're going to start with. It's a lot of green, and green is the tzaddik. So the first book is all about chacham, which is a light blue. And then this book introduces its idea as something different. So that's kind of a place to start thinking about We go through the whole thing there, and I can talk about that. Again, more, the majority of the psukim, if you count them out, it's 46 out of the 91 are about tzaddik. That's the green one. And the difference with book one, which is all about chachma, is that it's rational. Ethics as it comes from human thought. It comes from human intellect, and therefore, Jews don't have any greater claim to it than any other intellectual culture. That's the whole problem with the Isha Zara being so seductive, because it really sounds very similar to the Musar Avicha. And famously, the Midrash says, "Amar lecha Adam yesh chachma bagayim." If someone tells you that there is chachma, there is wisdom among the nations, ta'amin, you should believe it because it's true. So, looking at the implications of that, I am going to go back to the other source of Western ethics, which is Greece, and the Nicomachean ethics of Aristotle, because all Greek wisdom basically is Aristotle. And he's looking at ethics as well. What's the right way to act? How should we think about the right way to act? Same question is being asked initially. And he starts with the assumption that there must be something that's good that we want to do. Well, let's look at people. And he said, let's look, return to the good we are seeking. Ask what it can be. What's the ultimate goal? It seems different in different actions and arts. It's different in medicine and strategy and other arts likewise, right? Every field has its own ideal. So what is the good of each? And so the ultimate goal is that for which, say, whose sake everything else is done. That there are things we do in order to accomplish some other goal, and there's something that's got to be the ultimate goal. You know, whatever it is that we want something in life, and that's what we're trying to achieve. And he calls that happiness. He calls that eudaimonia. There's a nice Greek word, you can use that, impress people with how smart you are. It comes from the Greek word meaning true or good spirit. He's not defining it yet. He's saying that is, by definition, that is the ultimate goal. We want that to be. Okay, now this is above all, so this the ultimate goal is what this eudaimonia, which most translation is happiness, but that's too circular. We translate as fulfillment, whatever I'm trying to get out of life. But this we choose for self and never for sake of something else. This we right, that is the ultimate goal. We're doing it for its the thing that we're doing for its own sake and not in order to achieve something else. But honor, pleasure, reason, every virtue we choose indeed for themselves. Or if nothing resulted from them, we would still choose each of them. So there are these virtues, you say, that we would still want honor and pleasure and reason. These are all the good things that a good person wants. That's all that goes into this eudaimonia. We choose in the sake of happiness, judging that by means of them we shall be happy. Happiness, on the other hand, no one chooses for the sake of these or in general for anything other than itself. Eudaimonia is the ultimate goal, and that's what we should be trying to do, because that's what people want. Right. So starting with the reasonable assumption that everyone wants what they want. That's by definition. Some things they want are merely tools to get other things, but there's some ultimate wanted thing, and that he calls that eudaimonia. Again, we translate it usually in English as happiness, but better translates fulfillment. And if you're a wise person, right, a chacham in the sense of Mishlei, or someone who's smart in reading Aristotle, then you know what that is, what counts as eudaimonia, and you're actually doing things intentionally to get it. Most people aren't that smart. They just muddle their way through lives, through their lives, and don't even think about what they want. But ethics then is someone whose eudaimonia comes from virtue, being a good person. And he defines good person by what society considers a good person. That's what ethics. If you have the virtues that society likes. And that's another Greek term you'll see a lot, arete, over here, as the source of your eudaimonia. And someone in the book one at least agrees with that. That you need to be fulfilled, you need to do what you need to act in consistency with the virtues of your society, but that has to come from the Torah. The Torah tells you that you have to be rachum and chanun and be generous and judge people equally, and those are the virtues there. And if you do that, you'll be virtuous, and then you will achieve eudaimonia because you will find that you are now happy. That the people who act with virtue, their life is pleasant. As he says, pleasure is a state of the soul. To each man, the act which he is said to be a lover of is pleasant. Right? In other words, you like the things that you like, or the things that you like make you happy. So if you love horses, then horses are pleasant. If you like spectacles, then sights make it pleasant. And just acts are pleasant to the lover of justice. Virtuous acts are to the lover of virtue. If you want virtue, then they will make you happy, and their life therefore is no further than your pleasure, sort of adventitious charm as other things. You don't need anything else, but just by being virtuous, that will make you happy. That will bring you to eudaimonia. That's Aristotle. Be a good person, and you'll live a fulfilled and happy life. And that isn't a bad thing, right? I mean, being a good person is a good thing, but it's fundamentally selfish. It's about I'm fulfilled when I'm being nice to you. It makes me a good person, but it's still about me. But still, it can lead us to being good to others, and that's what Rav Shkop, we've quoted Rav Shkop in the Shar Yosher before, that we can define, we expand our definition of self, right? I want to be good for myself, but I defend my de definition, I expand my definition of self to include the whole world. So I live dedicated to the happiness of the whole world. And that's Chachma. This is the Shar Yosher. So, Rav Shkop says at first glance, rikshei avat atzmo, this love of myself, rikshei avat zoto, and the idea, this abstract ideal of the Torah that I should love others, hen katzarot zulazu, seem to be opposed to each other. But we need to look deeper into that. We have to see what brings them together, what unites them. Zulazu, and this secret. Key, and the way to unite these two opposite ideals, right? Love yourself and love others, is to expand the definition of ani. Make your ani bigger. Because that's how you can measure how the height of a person's spirituality. Aishagas, someone crude, bashafel, and lowly, kol anishalo mitzumsam rak b'chomro v'gufo. Such a person, the I, when I'm trying looking for my own happiness, my own, as Aristotle said, eudaimonia, consists of my body, my stuff. I like donuts. That's my goal. Lamalimeh, someone higher than that, is mishem ragish anishalo humurkab b'gufa nefesh. Someone who realizes that. Me, the one that I care about, the one whose fulfillment I'm looking for, consists of both the physical and the spiritual side. I need to fulfill my spiritual side as well. And higher this is Misha Machnis La'anishalo b'nei beto u'mishpachto. Higher to that is someone who can include their family, their relatives, their community. That it fulfills me when my family is happy, my community is happy. Again, I'm still selfish, but I'm expanding my definition of self. Licha pe Torah, and for religious Jews, we're going the ways of Torah. Anishalo kolel kol am Yisrael. Then I include my sense of self. When I care about myself, includes all Jews. Odesh b'zeh malach elisha shalem. But that shouldn't be the limit. You can be even more complete. Ra'uili hashrish b'nafsho, such a more Shalem. Completely fulfilled person should engraft into his soul, lagish to feel shekolamod kulama ani shelo, that the entire world is part of me. I'm part of the world, and when I care about anyone else in the world, I am caring about myself. And I'm just a small limb in all of creation. So then, this feeling of self-love, of egoism, Ozerlo will help them. Lo, I call Am Yisrael, the Kol B'riah Kula will help you love other Jews and the entire world. That's Chachma. It's not immoral. That's a good thing. And that sort of I am part of the world. Therefore, I should want good for the entire world, is also important. Because if I'm a Chacham, I realize that if I'm rich and powerful, I still want a just world. Because I may end up being poor and powerless. But I want to have the rules set up so that the poor and powerless are treated justly. Fortunes change. Spell that right. We never know what position we're in. This, in as Shirat Chana says, when Chana gets her baby in the beginning of Shmuel, Svim Balechem, Niskaru, those who were sated with bread. Need to work. Mechatelu, and the hungry will no longer be hungry. Arakaraya Dasheva, the one who is childless, will have seven children. Rabat Banim Umlala, and the one with many children can't be left bereft. Hashem Mitu Machaya, God kills and brings to life. Marisha Olav brings down to the grave, brings up. Everything changes. The circle of life. Hashem Marisha Mashiach, God makes poor, God makes rich. Hashpilach Marmim brings down, brings up. Ekim Me'afradel, Me'ashpot Yirmiyom brings the poor up from the dirt. Loshim Divim to sit with the princes. Say Kavod Yachleim and give them the throne. The Hashem B'tzukei Arts, good God is the foundation of the world. Yasher Olam Tevel and set up the world on them. We know that. And the strongest expression of this is John Rawls' Theory of Justice. You know John Rawls? You heard them?
No.
He was a mid-20th century ethicist. He talks about the veil of ignorance. If we're setting up a world, we should set up a world in which we don't know who we are. We're setting the rules for ethics, for justice, because we're not going to know what position we're in. Are we going to be the poor person sleeping under the bridge, and me the rich person in the mansion? We don't know. So you should make sure that there are no poor people sleeping under bridges. This was a summary from an online article, John Rawls' Veil of Ignorance, by one of the most influential philosophical ideas of the 20th century. Veil of ignorance is the way of working out the basic institutions and structures of a just society. Winterall's working out what justice requires demands that we think as if we are building a society from the ground up in a way that everyone who is reasonable can accept. We therefore need to imagine ourselves in a situation before any particular society exists. Rawls calls this the situation of the original position. We're trying to logically figure out what are the rules of ethics. The second part of the solution is the veil of ignorance. This involves a further leap of imagination. When thinking about justice, Rawls suggests we imagine that we do not know many of the facts, both of ourselves and society, that typically influence our thinking in biased ways. By intentionally ignoring these facts, Rawls hoped that we would avoid the biases that might otherwise come into a group decision. The veil is meant to ensure that people's concern for their personal benefit could translate into a set of arrangements that were fair for everyone. I have to care about everyone equally because I don't know who I am within these rules. That's ethical, that's moral, that's just, that's great. But without some absolute standard, if we're coming from original position from absolute ground zero, the virtues become unmoored and we end up immoral, unethical, and unjust, because ethics need God, need some absolute standard. Otherwise, we can make all the rules we want, but then we're just going to lose them. And this is Rav Soloveitchik talks about this, that scientists see the world as enveloped in an abundance of formal lawfulness. They see all the rules. These conceal the secret of creation, form a barrier between man and the creator. Sometimes the construction created by the mind is perceived as an absolute entity, is maintained as a total solution to eternal problem. Man's pride and impudence drive him to deify himself. I can get the rules, and therefore I know everything as a solution to the mystery. Then the scientist goes mad and denies God. And that's where these sorts of things. Okay, how ethical you are, it ends up falling apart. So someone realizes that and says, you know how you get chachma? You start with yira. Yirat Hashem Rishita. Fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. Once I accept that, then I can kind of use my ethical reasoning to get to the next steps. But it's not enough, because ethics from yira, it's still selfish. It's I am what is best for me. I may define me in broad ways and in ways that end up in good places, but still, as Rashi says, Oseh devarav me'ahava, doing things out of love, Hashem, eino domeh oseh me'ahava. Oh, introduction here. Sorry. Yeah. Someone who acts out of love of Hashem is different from someone who acts out of yira, fear, awe. Serving a master out of yira, fear, too much riachala. If it's too much work, minichovo, we'll just drop it and go. You're balancing the benefits, the cost and the benefits. The costs are too much, you're just gonna leave. It's not a stable source of ethics and rules. So Shlomo introduces the tzaddik in our paragraph. Someone asks ethically because they're osei devarav me'ava. It's kind of like the I can't pronounce it. Euthyphro dilemma, which we've talked about before. Does God desire something because it's good, or is it good because God desires it? Is there an absolute good that exists outside of Ratzon Hashem?
Well,
Sorry.
when we talk about creation, we talk about good, good, very good.
Right. So that becomes one answer is that, well, you say, well, God created the universe, so therefore the universe that we live in is one in where the will of God is good. You can imagine a universe where things be different. But if we're looking at the universe as it is goodness, does our definition of goodness constrain God's actions? But the variation here is, do we act morally because it's good or because God commanded it? Right? The Chacham is doing it because it's good. I have a definition of good, I'm going to do that. The Tzaddik is doing it because it's a mitzvah.
The scientist is doing a what?
The Tzaddik is doing it because it's a mitzvah. So I'm commanded.
Oh, okay.
Okay? Right? And we assume that if we're acting, we're religious Jews, we assume if we always act and fulfill Ratzon Hashem, then we do the right thing. It's moral. But still, it sounds good, but it violates the idea of Ahata Ruach Kamocha. I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it because I'm fulfilling a mitzvah. I'm scoring heavenly mitzvah points.
But isn't that because we feel like that Hashem is infinite and that we're following, this higher knowledge?
It is, but if I'm doing it because of God's command, and I'm not doing it for you, I'm not helping you, I'm not doing Gemil Chesed for you. I'm treating you as a means, not an end.
But I thought the whole thing about in Pirkei Avos where it says, even if you're not doing it for the right reason, over time, you will come to understand
Right.
the
That's true, but what is the right reason? What's the lishma? That's kind of the way we end up with this problem. Is my lishma I care about others, or because I care about them being commanded?
right reason. I feel that it's because you will become to value others
One
by
hope.
behaving
So
a
that's
certain
the
way.
argument, but that's then the not the tzaddik argument. It's not because of my Avat Hashem that I'm doing that. That the ultimate goal should be that. It's a tough thing, and the truth is that that's exactly right. Is that Gemil Chasadim should be denying Ratzon Hashem, right? I'm not doing it because God. Ideally, the lishma of Gemil Chasadim is not because it's a mitzvah; it's because I care about you. That would be the idea. And there's a famous story about the Baal Shem Tov, and a lot of other people have said the similar things. And that this is the Shalom Baal Shem Tov. They asked the Baal Shem Tov, doesn't the Gemara in Chulin say, Kol ma she'da aser shari kenegdo, anything that's forbidden, there's something permitted corresponding to that. Now this is talking about kashrus. Gemara says you can always find the kosher thing that tastes like the not kosher ones, right? Someone's going to invent parva cheese, fake meat, fakos, fake crab. You want anything that's not kosher, don't worry, you're not missing out. We can make it kosher. That's
You
Gemara's
can
whole
make
thing.
something that tastes like it.
Right. You're not missing. That's the Gemara. So they asked the Baal Shem Tov, is it ofen mutar kefira? I want to taste heresy, kefira. I
They
want to be
want
an
you to
atheist.
taste what?
Heresy.
Oh.
I want to be an atheist. Okay, so that's so obviously that's a Hasidic answer. They're obviously not what the Gemara is talking about at all. But I want to taste heresy. Heshiv, and so the Baal Shem Tov answered, "It's tzedakah. When you're giving tzedakah, you should be a heretic. Lo tomar lani. You can't tell the poor person. Okay, have faith in God. God will help you. Obviously, God wants you to be poor or sick. You should be denying God's will at that moment. Right? Giving tzedakah is a state of saying, God, you got it wrong. This person needs more. I do whatever you can. That's the ideal attitude when you're doing giving tzedakah. It's not, it's, you're not doing it because God commanded it, because it's doing it because of what the person needs. And Rav Volbe in the Elishur talks about the dangers of frumkeit. He has a whole essay on frumkeit, being frum. Not a good thing from a Musar perspective. This is his word. B'shvil tsar hamuvil el ha'emet v'vodat Hashem. Because of all the trouble that we go to in order to serve Hashem honestly, yesh michshol, there is a potential stumbling block, sheshmo frumkeit. Now you've heard the term frumkeit, right? Status of being frum, being loose, right? It's the bad thing. Frumkeit hi dachav tivi. Frumkeit is a natural impulse. Instinctivi, instinctive. That we want to be close to God. Right? That's the tzaddik. That's what frumkeit is. It's desire to be close to God. Frumkeit tivit, this natural sense of being from. This certainly helps us serving God. It's a good thing. Without this natural impulse, it would be very hard to keep mitzvot. We didn't want to be close to God and want to do what God wants. But a frumkeit, this idea of frumkeit, kmo kol dachav instinktivi apoel b'adam, just like every other natural instinct that you have, is egotistit, it's self-centered, anochit, which obviously Hebrew of egotistit. I love English words in Hebrew.
I know it's like
I oriented,
I
egoist.
oriented or
Right. It's all about
self-oriented.
me. It's nature. So there's a sense of frumkeit, right? Is a thing to do what's good for you, for your own spiritual benefit. True, and it's a good. It ends up with a good place. Pula ben adam chaveru, that everything you're doing between you and your fellow, selishma and doing things and mitzvah of God, enem nizonim mi frumkeit. That doesn't come from frumkeit. Your pula ben adam chaveru doesn't come out of a sense of. So in other words, your tzaddik is not the right answer either. Someone who bases their service of Hashem on it, levad is left selfish. I feel even if you're very machmir and you are a really big black hat, that's still a problem. Ish chesed, he will not be a person of chesed. He will not be doing, as you said, lishma, right? You're supposed to do it slow lishma, you get to lishma, but realize that lishma is not the frumkeit. You're better than the chavrus should be stake for others. Okay, so we have the chacham is selfish. They're trying to optimize their own happiness and fulfillment. The tzaddik is selfish. They're trying to act out of their own avodah Hashem, not for the other. So we have this
That
dialogue.
feels so weird to say a tzaddik is selfish.
That's exactly what Rav Volbe is saying, that we end up with this frumkeit sense that we need to realize that our actions with others need to be for the sake of others and not for our own fulfillment. But that's
Yeah.
impossible. So it's a
I
dialogue.
mean, they have to be authentically concerned with somebody else.
And that's it's not only is it hard, it's impossible, right? We have two opposing truths, both that's very both of them are true. That's a dialectic. I think the synthesis, trying to put these two things together, both of which end up with ethics but kind of get lost, comes to the third aspect, right? We talked about the charitz, the diligent, the emet, right? That was the way back when the purple, right? We talked about we got the blue and the green in here as they go back and forth. I'm sorry.
I saw some purple.
Yeah, there's purple in there. Yeah, the purple is the Haritz Shalem and Emet, right? Being honest. And you got a couple of those. It starts with the Haritz, right? Yad Haritzim Tashir, the Haritz, the diligent, will be rich. And you got some in the middle, And at the end, lo yacharoch rimyat zido, hon adam yakar charutz, that person of who is charutz, again, translated as diligent, who's careful in what they do, will be have hon adam will have wealth. So what does that mean? Okay. So he's trans he contrasts charitz with rimya or mirmah, which is usually translated as deceit. Okay, it's clearly it's similar to the distinction between emet and sheker, truth, falsehood. We talked about before the fact that emet is impossible. Human beings don't know the absolute truth. We don't know exactly what the reality of the world, but we have to be sincere, and we know we have models of how the world works, and we're acting with others in ways that are consistent with that. We have to be sincere. But this idea of charitzut, of diligence, isn't really the opposite of deceit, of lying, of trying to fool somebody. But the Malbim translates charitzim as zurizim. Those are eager to do the right thing, acting with alacrity. That's why I like the word diligence there. Being careful, you know, making sure you're thinking about what you're doing and acting that way. Or it's hefecha etzah, the opposite of being lazy. The hefecha haramai, and it's the opposite of
The
being
opposite of cheating.
cheating. So here, though, that being diligent is not the opposite of cheating. Right? Cheating is actually lying, saying something intelligent. Mirma doesn't really mean ramai. It doesn't here mean cheat. It doesn't mean lying. But a liar still cares about the truth.
Yeah.
Right? They're just saying the opposite of the truth. They know the truth, what the truth is, and saying the opposite. Mirma is orthogonal to that, to truth and falsehood. It's completely perpendicular to someone who doesn't care. You know Elie Wiesel's famous quote that the opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference.
Yeah.
That love and hate are both caring about the subject. Indifference is perpendicular, it's orthogonal. Opposite of faith and not heresy is indifference. So Mirma, Ramai, here I think is the opposite of emet, not in the sense of sheker of lying, but person, it's a reckless disregard for the truth. I just don't care. I'm just saying things I don't care whether they're right or not. And there's a perfectly good English word for this.
White
I
lie.
can't say it. I can't write it. The initials are BNS. I can't bring myself to say that word. There's a perfectly good word there. You know the word I'm talking about.
No, I don't.
When I call something BS, I don't want to, I just can't say it. Okay, and
B.
I ask Grok for a synonym. It couldn't come up with anything there, right? Okay, so I call it, so he said, well, the kind of jocular term is horse feathers or claptrap.
Yeah.
Again, a reckless disregard for the truth. I'm saying things that I just don't care. They're jocular, right? Meaning it's a joke. I don't take it seriously. That's the opposite of zrizut or charutz. It's saying things that.
Oh, you said I thought you were saying BF, and you were saying
Yes, here.
BS.
Yes.
Okay, now I know what you're talking about.
It is exactly the word I want, but I can't say it. Okay, that's the way to translate Rimiya. That's the opposite of Kritzut. That's what you're saying if we care about. That's Zrizut. The Ramchal talks about Zrizut, is how we do mitzvot. And this is Mr. Sharon. You know, as Zrizut, right? Being diligent, being careful is mivu'ar, we all know. That's the key to doing mitzvot. That's why Chazal said it. Someone who's zariz will do a mitzvah early. That just like it takes insight and careful attention to avoid the traps of the Yetzer Hara, to avoid that which is wrong, and be re and escape from evil, that it should it, that we shouldn't have the Yetzer Hara ruling over us and we'll be happy with what we do. Can't similar, can't tzarich pichut gadol. We have to be aware, hashgafa, and pay attention. The chos mitzvot, to hold on to mitzvot, is kod bahem and merit to if you do them below to about a man not to lose them. So that's talking about doing mitzvot. Someone's message here is different. The charitz here is someone who, and when they're dealing with other people, takes them seriously. doesn't speak BS to other people. Okay, the whole paragraph really is about taking things seriously. Chacham takes thinking seriously. Tzaddik takes Rosh Hashem seriously. That's good. The Chariz takes other people seriously. That's what it takes to be a good person. Acknowledge that you actually exist. You're not a tool. You exist as your own independent entity. That's the first step. Then I can put all my rules of ethics into there, and it's not purely selfish thing. It'll be stable. And then the rest of the parak, there are 16 psukim, which I classify as common proverbs, which deserves closer study, but I'm not sure what to do with them. You know, things like daga b'lev ish, ishachena, right? That don't worry, be happy. That this part is worry in your heart, then suppress it. Devar tov yismechena, speak happy things and be happy. It's true, but what do they do with that with everything else with them, the ethical lessons? I'm not sure. So someone else has to write that essay. But the three other three psukim, I think, tie the whole section together, and that's the Isha. The three psukim about Isha. Eshet Chen, Timtoch Kavod, a woman of grace, supports honor, Aritzim, but tyrants, those who terrify others, Yitmechu Osher, can get wealthy, but they don't have Kavod. Nizim Zahav, Ba'af Chazir, that like a gold earring on a pig, Isha Yafa V'Saratam is a beautiful woman who has no sense. And Eshet Chayil Ateret Ba'ala, a woman of valor, of strength, is a crown of her husband. Ukrakiv Basmatav may be shot, a woman who is bad to her husband, rots his bones. And there may be statement about women, and Shlomo liked his women, but he also likes his Isha metaphors. So I'm going to assume that these are metaphors here. We had the Isha in the previous book as being a metaphor for Chachma. I think that's what's going on over here. Here we have the positive Eshet Chen, Eshet Chayil, the negative Isha Yafa V'Sarat Tam. And in the grammar of it, the Eshet, the positive ones, is in the smichud form, the belonging of, right? It's a woman of grace, of valor. That's part of who she is. Isha Yafa is a beautiful woman. That's describing her. It's superficial. And that may be true for literal women and maybe literal men. The same for Mishlei. So this is a metaphor, and that's where the Malbim says the metaphor here is Isha Tova is someone who mashgiach chen, someone who achieves grace, like they maaseh tovim, by doing good deeds. Lofia in the expression of this book, the metaphor here is the nefesh yekara, the human soul, in the sense of yourself. You need to have a good soul. Not in superficial things, but deep inside. It has to be good and has to have both the, has to be yakara in the sense of the tzaddik, it needs the charitz, taking others seriously, it needs the chacham, all those together. That is the metaphor of the isha in this book. Similarly, the idea of Isha Yafa V'Saratam, a beautiful woman who has no sense, with Nimshal in the that which the metaphor applies to, is Mitzvah Tzarato Muskalot, someone who is smart, who learns wisdom, who knows everything, aval midotav ra'ot, but with bad character, midotav nishchatot, and does things that are destructive. That's the Isha Yafa V'Saratam. But Torah, v'amada'im shalamad, the Torah and the science that he knows, v'gidim otok chazir lovesh nezem zahav, are like decorating a pig with a gold earring. Lipstick on a pig, I think. Says in Yoma, Misha Kore B'Shoneh, someone who learns and studies, Meshamish Tamei Chachamim, and serves the Chachamim, V'Ein Masav. but isn't honest in business. It isn't nice to other people. What do people say about him? Now, for this one who learned Torah, for the one who taught him, like his parents, that's a bad person. That's unique, right? You have to be good inside, the sense of self. You have to take yourself seriously. Not just taking your actions, you're with the chacham seriously, the tzaddik is serious, is serious. You have to take yourself seriously. You have the potential to be great. You can make a difference in the world. If you don't have that, you're not even going to try to be an ethical person. As the Mishnah says, Melech Malchim, that God stamped everyone with the same stamp that created the first man with, and know everyone's different. Therefore, everyone should say, the world was created for me. And I think that's the idea that ties all of this back together again. If we don't start from the idea that then none of the other lessons make sense. So, this apparently, ironically, this is a kind of a selfish idea, the world exists for me, but allows us to be truly selfless and care about others. I don't know if that helps put all this together, but I thought I like the ideas here. I'm going to stop here.
But Danny, that sort of goes back to the idea that we all have a special mission, and we're created for a special mission.
Yes. If you don't think that, then all the learning muster is not going to make a difference. If you don't take yourself seriously, you're not going to take other people seriously. I think that's part of the lesson.
Shkola.
Beautiful.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.